Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Hit the beat, Candace.
Little bit of business to discuss at the top of the episode. Last week was rough.
It was.
Really rough. Sadly, I'm going to have to revisit it for just a second because I made a couple of errors in the episode. I'm not an investigative reporter, but I do my best to report the facts, you know, of the case and use reputable sources as source material.
Right.
But I'm only human and I make mistakes. So in last week's episode, I made a couple. So first, Junko's last name is Furuta, not Furtura.
Okay.
I am sorry about that. I actually wrote it in my notes correctly, but for some reason I was saying it wrong. Ah. So that's the first thing. Sorry, Junko. I really messed that up. Something else is that Nobu Haru, one of the miscreants that participated in the torture of Junko. Nobu Haru Minato and Shinji Minato are actually the same person.
Oh.
Yeah, the primary source I used referred to him interchangeably, so it made it seem like they were two different people, like brothers.
Okay.
So I messed that up big time. So there were four boys involved. That was Hiroshi Miyano, Shinji or Nobu Haru Minato, Joe Agura, and Yasushi Watanabe.
Okay.
That was the fourth guy. I don't know how he got lost in there, but let's say his name again. That was Yasushi Watanabe.
Got it. Got it.
I did make these acknowledgments in our Instagram post and also the show notes, but I wanted to go ahead and acknowledge them here on the pod as well. Also, something interesting, Lena, that I came across when I was fact-checking this information was that in August of 2018, and I'll tell you why this didn't come up in my research in just a second. In August of 2018, Shinji Minato, at the age of 45 years old, was arrested again for beating and stabbing a man.
What?
Like, yeah, he didn't just stab him, he slashed his throat.
Is he still in prison? Yep. Like, is he going to get out this time?
I hope not. So he was arrested, and he admitted to the police that he did beat and stab the man, but he was like, I didn't mean to kill him. So that
I didn't mean to. Just wanted to have fun.
Correct. And I meant to beat him and stab him, but did not mean to kill him. So I missed this in my research because the media, it didn't register to the media that he was the same guy connected to Junko's murder all those years ago.
Okay.
So they didn't put this together until 2019, only like a whole year later after his arrest. So
goodness,
really
gracious.
Wild. And this wasn't connected to any of the sources because this was actually from the Tokyo Reporter, the newspaper. So that's where I found this information. So yeah, he's still at
that's
it
so
over
interesting.
There. Just being a disgrace to society still.
Well, go beat people up in prison, not out in the world.
Exactly. Shinji is actually the third of the four guys to be rearrested after Junko's murder. So they have no intention of being
good,
civilized.
Yeah, good people.
Rehabilitated, not at all. So over the years, apparently, he moved around, his family moved around a lot, and he tried to be a TIE fighter at one point, but he was booed. he did marry and have a child, sadly, but he didn't amount to anything, and then this crime happened. So he flew under the radar for quite a while, which is why when he was arrested, the media didn't put it together until after the fact. So,
so
I thought
interesting.
That was, anyways, just like, can y'all stop, please?
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yes. Sorry about that, guys. All right, Lena, what do you have for us? Please tell us something good.
Well, today it's a little bit of a lighter episode. So,
goodness.
I mean, still murder. We're talking about true crime, people.
Okay.
But I have two stories for you. It's a
two, go on.
It's a twofer.
Nice. Double feature.
Yeah.
Oh, you were gonna sing. Go on.
Special. Let me sing. I'm trying to have my debut.
Please. Okay, go.
Okay. Well, I'm done. yeah.
If you heard me, I'm not gonna do it now.
If you heard me, great. If you didn't, I'm so sorry. but yeah, these two stories, they've got some things in common, like domestic troubles, social media posts, and confessions.
Dun, dun, dun.
So the first one we're going to talk about is Maribel Morales. I'm sorry, I think it's Maribel Rosado Morales.
Wait, you're sure it's not Maribel Madrigal?
No.
Have you seen Encanto?
No.
I watch it like 3 times a day. Never mind, as you were.
So yeah, Maribel Rosado Morales.
Okay.
And I could be saying that backwards. It could be Morales Rosado, kind of like you having mixed reports. There were a few mixed reports that I read, but I tried to go with the most common reported. But Maribel, she was 32 and a mother of 6. Her kids' ages ranged from 9 to 17, and she lived in Indiantown, Florida, and had a fiancé. Maribel started dating her fiancé on July 4th of 2017, and they planned to marry.
Oh, fireworks flew.
She was a simple woman. She wanted to get married at the beach. She loved animals and had 3 goats. She planned to get a bigger home for her and her children and start a farm.
I love her.
Yeah, farming is a lot of work.
So
it is. That's not very simple, but...
Right. But she had a dream.
But she did. And that information came from her fiancé, a report that her fiancé said. So I'm not going to say his name because in a few of the reports I read, it said he didn't want to be named. But Maribel, she recently got out of jail on a domestic violence case against her ex-boyfriend.
Oh.
And his name is Donald Lachey Williams III. So on the morning of August 11th of 2020, Maribel was on the phone with her fiancé. Her kids were getting ready to start their first day of school. And if you remember at that time, you know, I said 2020, most kids did virtual learning by Zoom meetings at home due to COVID.
Yeah.
So Maribel's 10-year-old daughter logged in for her online class and the teacher heard screaming and profanity coming from the girl's home. The teacher said that she heard the commotion, she heard the profanity, realized that there was some kind of domestic altercation, but she could still see the child on the screen.
Oh my gosh.
The teacher said that she muted her button so that nobody else could hear what was going on. And then she saw the 10-year-old girl put her hands up to her ears. Gunfire broke out.
Oh my
including,
gosh.
Yeah, so a bullet or some kind of projectile object struck the computer, making the screen go blank.
That's so crazy.
Yes. So I don't know if the kids could see. I mean, I'm assuming they could see her mm-hmm. action, but couldn't hear what was going
right.
on, thank God.
Wow.
So, and the affidavit says at 8:04 a.m. on August 11th of 2020, the Martin County Sheriff's Office received a call from a female stating that her mother had been shot. She described the male as a black male with dreadlocks, and he goes by the name Hondo. She said that the male had fled the scene on a bicycle. The police later determined that the shooter's name was Donald Lachey Williams III. Martin County Sheriff's Office responded and secured the residence. They processed the crime scene along with interviewing witnesses. The family members inside of the home said that Donald entered the home through the front door and started arguing with their mother about a Facebook post.
Oh.
He shot Maribel twice in the stomach or chest area, is what the kids told the police, and then left on a bike. A family member that lived across the street told investigators that one of the children came over to get her, and on her way over to Maribel's house, she saw a man on a bicycle. The man turned to look, and she recognized him as Donald Williams. The family member from across the street said that she went into the house and Maribel was lying on the floor. Maribel was still alive and told her that Hondo had come into the house. Maribel's son also identified Donald. So a little later in the morning, like 40 minutes later, the police get another call. A bus driver was suspicious about a man trying to get onto or trying to be taken to a different city. Mm-hmm. So Donald, he was quickly located and arrested. He was at a bus stop, and the bus driver called police stating that there was a suspicious male trying to ride the bus. He was asking to be taken to a different town, which was about 40 minutes away from them. Well, this was a local bus. They didn't go outside of the town.
What an idiot. Yeah, could you take me to another city? No.
She's like, we don't go there. And he's like, yeah, but I need to go.
She's like, I have a lunch break in 30 minutes, so it's a no for me.
Yeah. Well, and he was holding a black bag, and she just said he was acting very suspicious. So she actually got off the bus and called 911.
Nice.
So when the deputy arrived and arrested Donald, the bus driver told the deputy that the man had left that black bag on the bus. And when the deputy picked up the bag and felt around the outside of the bag, he could feel that there was obviously a handgun in there. So Donald is taken in, and while being interviewed, he willingly answered questions and confessed. He said that he walked into Maribel's house quietly and confronted her about the Facebook video that involved him. Maribel, she denied that she had anything to do with the post, but she smiled. She smiled at him, so he knew she was lying. Like,
uh-oh.
Yeah. So he said when she smiled, it enraged him. He then shot her and took a bicycle that was outside of the house and dumped it somewhere. He said that he was mad when he went to Maribel's house. He did take the .45 handgun with him, but did not intend to harm Maribel. He did admit that he did load the gun with 3 bullets before he left his house. He also admitted that he shot Maribel twice and then emptied the 3rd round. He didn't say where he emptied it or how.
Okay.
The detectives were already told that Donald had pointed the gun toward one of the daughters as she was trying to protect her mother. It was reported that the little girl went in between her mother and the gunman, and her son got a knife and attempted to attack Donald.
What brave little kids.
Yes.
Wow.
Trying to protect their mother. That's just...
Wow.
Yeah. So when the little boy picked up the gun and tried to attack Donald, he fell. And Donald pointed the gun at... No, not Donald didn't fall. The little boy fell.
Oh.
So before he could get to Donald, he fell. So, and so Donald then ended up pointing the gun at him, the little boy. And so he put his hands up thinking that he was going to be shot too. But Donald just, I guess, turned. And I think that's when he left, went to get the bike and left. I did read a few reports that after Maribel was shot the first time, she ran into the laundry room to try to get away, to try to get Donald away from her children, and also so that her kids did not have to see her like that. Donald already had several felony charges on his record in Florida.
You don't say.
So now premeditated murder and aggravated assault was added to the list, along with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon.
Yeah, slap him with the charges. All of them.
Yeah. How do you think he got the handgun? Well, it was from a robbery, a vehicle robbery in 2015.
Of course it was.
So the bad guy is going to find a gun if he wants a gun.
Exactly.
I've said it before. So Maribel, she was flown to Lawnwood Regional Medical Center and Heart Institute, and she was pronounced deceased at 9:14 a.m. The judge ordered that Donald be held without bond in the Martin County Jail. The order states that the court finds that no conditions of release can reasonably protect the community from risk of physical harm to other persons.
Yep.
And I commend you, Judge. Good job. Two deputies reported that when booking Donald, he said, "I messed up this time."
Sure did.
It wasn't supposed to happen this way. He said, "I'll probably be charged with first degree murder." And then he stated, "I'm not a bad guy, but you're probably going to read about me in the TC Palm," which is a local news outlet. So neither deputy commented to him or asked any further questions.
But those were incriminating statements.
Yes, they did. Both of them wrote the statements after they booked him.
Mm-hmm.
Maribel's mother, Anna, she took the role as caretaker for all six children.
Oh.
A GoFundMe campaign was set up to cover the funeral costs and funds for the kids, which I believe brought them a little over $30,000.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. The GoFundMe says, "It was hard for Maribel being a mom of six and having a young daughter with a disability, but she was a great mother and worked hard to keep food on the table for her kids." A memorial site grew outside of Maribel's home with pictures of her, balloons, and candles. Family, friends, and neighbors all said the same things about Maribel, that she was a strong woman and very loving and giving. So for Donald Williams, he was supposed to have a hearing in February of 2021, but I could not for the life of me find any further information. Like, the last report I found was from February 3rd of 21, saying that his next court date was February 10th or something like that, but then nothing.
Yeah.
So I called the courthouse in Florida, and they informed me that he hasn't even been sentenced yet. His court date was pushed back, and then they said he'll be going to jury trial in November this year, so in just a couple of months.
Well, and you have to think, like, that this happened at the height of COVID, so
exactly.
I'm sure they've been backlogged for years, so we're just now seeing, you know, those things kind of come out, so I'm not surprised by that, but wow.
Right. So, I mean, that's pretty much an open and shut case, except for waiting for jury trial. The second story I have for you today is about Derek Medina. He's 33 years old. He was from Miami, Florida. He had a wife, Jennifer, who was 27. The couple had a troubled relationship. They were married in January of 2010, divorced in February of 2012, and then remarried in April of 2012.
Okay.
A little back and forth. Jennifer had a daughter from a previous relationship. I think she was about 10 years old. Again, conflicting reports on that. Derek had trouble holding down a job, but he worked really hard to make a name for himself. He posted over 100 YouTube videos about boat trips, haunted houses, basketball games, boxing, I think, was some of it. I think he tried to become some kind of amateur fighter or something like that. But he also published his own self-help ebooks.
Okay.
Do you want to hear some of the titles?
Oh, boy, do I.
So, these are like the longest titles of a book that I've ever seen. Okay, the first one is How I Saved Someone's Life and Marriage and Family Problems Through Communication. The second one is How a Judgmental and Selfish Attitude is Destroying the World We Live in Because the World is Vanishing Between Our Eyes. I gotta tell you the third one.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, the third one. Are you ready? If the world ended today, how would you react? Compose yourself.
I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, I'll start over. If the world ended today, how would you react to saving the world or helping the world, or would it all be over for you?
It would be over for you.
I think so. Okay. We're done with those. So one of his most attention-getting Facebook posts, and this is not funny, okay? It was, August of 2013. It was a photo of a slumped and bloody body along with a confession.
What? He posted this on Facebook?
On Facebook. He says, RIP, Jennifer Alfonso. I'm going to prison or death sentence for killing my wife. Love you guys. Miss you guys. Take care, Facebook people. You will see me in the news. My wife was punching me, and I am not going to stand anymore with the abuse, so I did what I did. I hope you understand me.
Wow.
Well, with this Facebook post, Medina, he got the fame that he was looking for. The post remained on Facebook for about 5 hours, and friends were confused, and they were commenting, like, that's my friend. What happened?
What? They were commenting, pick up the phone. Like,
they were saying, call Derek, what happened?
Oh my gosh.
So Derek's Facebook, along with the picture, were eventually removed. A Facebook spokeswoman said, the content was reported to us and we took action on the profile, removing the content and disabling the profile. And we reached out to law enforcement. We take action on all content that violates our terms, which are clearly laid out on our site.
Yeah, they do.
So, however, the picture was shared 170 times before the page was taken down.
Why would you share that?
You know, people have twisted minds. Like, I don't know why you would want to share something so gruesome.
I'll admit, I look at crime scene photos, but with the understanding that I know the weight that comes along with it, I would never impose that on anyone else. Like, I would never just share that and keep passing it along, because it's, first of all, it's not respectful to her or her family. And then, oh my gosh, I can't believe it got shared that many times.
Well, I mean, And this is his confession. Like, you know this just happened. Like, crime scene photos that we see are of usually things that are going, have already gone through trial or whatnot. But, I mean, like, this just happened. Mm-hmm. And you're just sharing this woman all over Facebook. According to the affidavit, Derek said they became involved in a heated argument in an upstairs bedroom when he armed himself with a gun and pointed it at her. He said Jennifer left the bedroom, returning later to say that she was leaving him. He says he went downstairs and confronted her in the kitchen, and she began punching him. He claims he went back upstairs to get his gun and came back down and confronted her again. She then grabbed a knife, and Derek said he was able to disarm her and put the knife in a drawer. But when she began punching him again, he shot her several times. And then he took pictures.
Gross.
Yes. Derek's father said his son came over after the shooting and admitted to murdering Jennifer. His father said he just said that his wife picked up a knife on him and they had a big fight and he shot her. He came to my house and all he said was, I need to go to the police. I need to turn myself in.
But first,
I mean, what are you going to do at that point?
Let's post it on Facebook.
Right. Authorities confirmed that after he killed his wife, Medina drove to his family's house and then turned himself into the police. After he gave police his address, they drove to the scene where they found the body. Jennifer's young daughter was still in the house.
Oh my gosh.
10 years old. Left her there with her deceased mother laying in the kitchen.
So she knew her mom was dead?
I don't know if she ever came out after Derek left the house. Nothing was said about that, but it was said that she did not witness the murder, and the little girl herself was not physically hurt.
Well, thank goodness for that.
So at the trial, his story was that he lived with years of abuse from Jennifer and that he shot her in self-defense. Prosecutors told the jury that he had previously threatened to kill Jennifer if she had ever left him, which she had told friends that she would plan to do, and that night she told him she was going to do. Mm-hmm. Prosecutors also argued how a 6'2" man weighing 200 pounds could easily have overpowered Jennifer, who was 5'6". He didn't have to shoot her 8 times. Like, he could have over, and especially if he was an amateur fighter.
Right.
For forensic evidence also indicated he had shot all 8 rounds in a downward trajectory. There, I said it.
You got it.
Suggesting she had been on her knees at the time that he shot her. So, and not to mention that in his confession, he said that he went back and forth. Like, he confronted her, went back to the bedroom to get the gun, then came back. If he feared for his life, why would you keep going back to argue with her?
Well, first of all, like, they were upstairs arguing, and he immediately got his gun. Like, oh, this is going to get out of hand, and I'm probably going to have to defend myself with a gun.
Right.
Like, no.
And yeah, I don't think it happened that way. So ultimately, Derek was found guilty of second-degree murder and was sentenced to life in prison. At his sentencing, Derek went on a rant. You ready for this one?
Oh, Lord.
He says, "Focus, Barack Obama, president, on this corruptive world that I will be suing." Oh. "I will be suing this world," he said. Oh. Not only that, Unfriended, the movie by Universal Pictures, came out with the movie before my trial, which was unfair. Okay, which was biased. And pretty much the point I'm trying to make is that I did not get a fair trial. I will be taking action. I will be suing, and I want Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, to focus on corruption.
Okay.
So Unfriended, if you didn't know, I didn't know. It is a horror movie about social media, but it doesn't have anything to do with Mr. Medina.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be famous, and he...
Yeah. He sounds a little... I'm not going to say he was insane. Like, he definitely knew what he did, and he knew right from wrong, but he sounds a little maybe borderline personality.
Yes.
Or
yes, something. For sure.
Something's going on there.
I agree with you. These two cases, very... not a lot of information out there. Everything that I just reported on is everything that I could find. I don't know why, but I just find it fascinating that both of these guys got so enraged, mad enough to kill someone that they shared life with, and then quickly confess. Like, these cases are so similar in a way.
Yeah, snapped. But really... they had it in them the whole time. Because what's his name? Hondo? I mean, he straight up went over there with a loaded weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
He went over there mad. It's not like he was like, oh, I'm going to shoot you, and then grabbed a gun and shot her.
Right.
And got mad. He just was like enraged.
Yeah. Over a Facebook post. It was supposedly a video, something of him in a video. I tried to figure out what... the contents was, but of course it was, I guess they took that one down too.
Nothing to be killing somebody over,
well,
I'm sure.
No.
Lord almighty.
Yeah. But that's all I've got for y'all, and...
Well, those were interesting cases, and you know what I'm thinking about? How strange it is to be a true crime podcast host in this day, because we get our information from... the World Wide Web, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And news is not reported these days like it used to be. Used to, you know, you would be at the newspaper, you would call your sources, everything was pretty much vetted and all that kind of stuff. And you would have editors and blah, 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 blah. Now I just feel like everybody can write anything. Anybody can... twist things. That's how there's so many conflicting reports out there about everything.
And it's funny that you say that, because there was, like, with all of the reports that I read on both of these stories, there were things that were, like, several reports that were similar and common, had the same information, but then there were reports that said something, like you said, twisted around, and I'm like, No, that's not what I've been reading. So you really have to be careful what
And that's why, exactly, that's why you have to, like, be super careful about what sources you're reading. Like, who's writing that article? What are their credentials? Like, what organization are they affiliated with? Because that's how, especially, like, these were recent cases that you covered.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good job. I felt like I was there, which is kind of scary, but also thrilling.
Yeah. So, and just, guys, be careful what you post on social media. Don't make people mad.
Don't piss anyone off. Oh, my gosh.
Make sure you get permission before you be posting about somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what's exciting, Lena?
What's that?
This has nothing to do with anything. I told you I'm going to England in October. I'm doing a Jack the Ripper tour.
Ooh.
In London.
I can't wait to hear about that. How fun.
I am so excited. I'm going to see the places where those women were found.
Oh, wow.
I cannot wait.
Is someone doing it with you? Is Daniel going to do it with you?
Holly's going to come with
me. Oh, okay. Good.
My sister-in-law.
Good, good.
Yeah, so she's going to come with me, and yeah, it's going to be wild and creepy and crazy. The morbid girls just did a like a 5-part series on Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
I just find it so wild that we still don't know who did that. Like, we still don't know who Jack the Ripper was.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
So, it is. And the details of the case are mad. Like, mm-hmm. It just got me all wound up about Jack the Ripper. Like, I'm kind of obsessed with it now. So, anyway, that's a little old true crime news.
I wish I could go with you to that.
I know. I wish you could come too. That would be so cool. Cousins on Crime, take London.
Well, and then
that would be really cool.
When you come here, I know we talked about trying to do the historical tours in Cowtown.
Yes, we should,
but you've got so much going on. I don't know if we'll be able to make it happen.
Maybe we will. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, this was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah. Yep, let's do it again. Thanks for listening, guys. See you next time.
Have a good one. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.